Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt,
the foal of a donkey. Lord, I just ask that you would prick our ears,
clean them out, Lord, so we can hear your word as Neil speaks it today. I pray that we would hear your word, that we would get understanding, and that we would be able to apply that to our lives, Lord. Just bless Neil as he comes forward today, and we just thank you for all your blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, today is what is called Palm Sunday, commemorating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He was greeted by a crowd that had gathered to meet him with palm leaves and praises as the promised king. The account of Jesus' triumphal entry is told in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this event must have made quite an impression on all four disciples to be in all four Gospels. They and the crowd were expecting one thing, and Jesus did the unexpected, the opposite. The disciples and the crowd misunderstood Jesus' intention. Let's turn to the account in Luke chapter 19. We read in Luke 19, starting in verse 29, that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mountain that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. Now, as he was going, they were spreading their cloaks on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And yet some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus replied, "I tell you, if these stop speaking, the stones will cry out." When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known on this day, even you, the conditions for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will put up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in and all on every side. And they will level you to the ground and throw down your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because they did not recognize the time of your visitation." Well, what is the significance of the colt, of riding into Jerusalem on a colt? By riding on a colt, Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah, God's anointed king, as prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that Kevin just wrote, read, and they didn't write it. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not only was he claiming to be the king, but he was claiming to be the kind of king he would be. In those days, a colt, the foal of a donkey, was a noble animal, unlike today. By riding on a colt, he was claiming to be the humble king, a king of peace, love and peace. But the crowd misunderstood, misinterpreted Jesus. They were expecting Jesus to be the conquering king. But a conquering king would be riding on a horse. In those days, a king riding on a colt meant he was coming in peace, and a king riding on a horse meant war. I already read that. The Jews in the crowd would have seen the significance of Jesus riding on a colt or a donkey. They knew from their scriptures that when King Solomon became king of Israel, he rode on his father David's donkey, 1 Kings 1, 38 to 39. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok, the priest, then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." In Genesis, there is a prophecy concerning the tribe of Judah and a donkey when Jacob blesses his son Judah. Genesis 49, 10 to 11. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. Well, this prophecy meant that Israel's true king would come from the tribe of Judah, and that this true king would have something to do with the colt of a donkey. So by riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, Jesus, the son of David, from the tribe of Judah, fulfilled scripture, fulfilled prophecy. And the crowd that was expecting Jesus to come to Jerusalem as the conquering king, they came from all parts of the known world to celebrate the Passover. And Jerusalem would have been overflowing with people, most of them expecting Jesus to come and conquer Rome. And throughout Israel's history, they had been held captive, oppressed by various nations, and now they were being held captive by Rome, and they wanted Jesus to free them from their oppressors. In Luke 19:11, it says, because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. When the crowd shouted, "Blessed be the King, the one who comes in the name of, comes in the kingdom of God," was going to, no, wait a minute. When the crowd shouted, "Blessed is the King, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest," they were expecting Jesus to set up God's kingdom then and there and be their king. But that was not Jesus' intention at all. Jesus was going to do the unexpected. Jesus had come to save us from sin, not conquer. He had come to save the people spiritually by bringing salvation, not physically by conquering Rome. He knew that being saved from sin was more important than being saved from Rome's power. Luke doesn't say anything about spreading any branches on the road, but in John's account of the triumphal entry, the crowd took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him. In Matthew's account, they cut branches from the trees. And in Mark's account, they spread leafy branches. Well, whatever they were, the branches symbolized kingship, victory, nationalism. The same type of branches were used when the temple was liberated from the Syrians in 164 BC, and when Jerusalem was retaken from enemies in 142 BC. So the crowd, by spreading the branches, was thinking Jesus was going to liberate them, become their king. And as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, the people in the crowd were throwing their cloaks on the road before him. Only three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell about people throwing down their cloaks for him. John does not. So what did throwing down the cloaks mean? It was the custom in those days to spread their cloaks, throw down their garments, to make a carpet for a royal procession. By arriving in Jerusalem on a donkey, the people spreading palm branches and throwing down their cloaks to make a carpet for a royal procession, Jesus was declaring to be a victorious king, a victorious, gentle king. And the Jewish people were welcoming a victorious, conquering king. But why did Jesus answer the Pharisees with, who were asking him to rebuke the people with, "If these stop speaking, the stones will cry out"? Well, Jesus was saying that to stop the crowd from crying out would be like asking the stones to cry out. It's impossible. It was impossible to stop the crowd from praising him, declaring him as king. But the Jews were misunderstanding about the kind of king that Jesus was declaring to be. But why did the Jewish crowd misunderstand Jesus? They did not understand Scripture, the prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about the Messiah, how he would come, how he would teach, how he would die, and how he would rise again. The Old Testament is filled with references and allusions about Jesus that the Jews misunderstood in those days. They wanted a king who would deliver them from Rome. The disciples of Jesus did not understand his mission on earth until after Jesus was glorified through his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. They did not understand why Jesus would come into Jerusalem the way he did. He was wanted by the Pharisees, who wanted to kill him because they were afraid that if Jesus claimed to be king, that Rome would come and destroy them. John 11:57. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might arrest him. Well, John in his gospel, writing about how the disciples misunderstood Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, but then understood Jesus after his resurrection, says in John 12:16, "These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things for him." Jesus often spoke to his disciples about his purpose on earth, things that his disciples didn't understand. Mark 8:31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer these things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise from the dead." Well, as Jesus came into view of Jerusalem, he wept because he knew the city would be leveled, destroyed. But the disciple did not understand that. How could that happen if Jesus was going to conquer Rome and be a king? Well, like the crowd, they thought he was coming to bring them victory, nationalism, and be their king. Do we today misunderstand Jesus? How? In what ways? What are we to do? When people misunderstand our Lord, it's because of their sin, their ignorance, and their failure to believe his word. Well, in what ways do people misunderstand Jesus today? There are those who think that Jesus is just a prophet, who deny he is the Son of God. There are those who think Jesus taught the name it claim it gospel or a prosperity gospel, where God will give you whatever you want. And there are those who think that all religions lead to heaven, that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, or that you just need to be a good person, or that God is a loving God and would not send people to hell. But what are we to do to not misunderstand Jesus? Study God's word. Read the Bible. For those who deny Jesus is the Son of God or think that he is just a prophet, it says in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." For those who think that Jesus taught a prosperity gospel, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I just want to emphasize that it is for the gospel, for salvation that the gospel is presented to us, not prosperity, not to gain prosperity. And in Matthew 6:19-24, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, whether moth and rust, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And further down it says, you cannot serve both God and money. For those who think that there are many ways to heaven, John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, let us not misunderstand Jesus, especially who he is. He is our Savior. Jesus talking about salvation in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is our Redeemer. Paul wrote about Jesus in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, eager for good deeds. He built only one church. Jesus talking to Peter in Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. All the churches of Christ is the one church. He has only one plan of salvation, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants us in heaven one day, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Well, we have seen how Jesus' disciples and the Jewish people misunderstood Jesus, the kind of king he would be, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people thought he was going to deliver them from the political power of Rome. But Jesus came to deliver them from spiritual death. He came to be the way to eternal life. He came to fulfill his Father's promise, Father's plan of salvation for us. He came so that we would have life and have life abundantly. Well, how does one do that? One must admit that he or she is a sinner, separated from God, unable to save oneself from God's wrath, in need of a Savior. One needs to believe and trust in Jesus, who died on the cross in our place, paying for our sins, which only he could do. God, his Father, required the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus, his Son, was the only one who could fit that requirement. And when one sincerely believes in their heart that Jesus is their Savior, he or she is a child of God, adopted into God's family. But don't stop there to avoid any misunderstanding about who Jesus is. Read the Bible to learn and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus does not want to be misunderstood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that none of us here has misunderstood you, who you are, and why you came down to earth, and why you had to die on the cross. You came to be our Savior. You came to be our Redeemer. You came to save us from your Father's wrath, of being separated from him because of our sin. Just thank you for your plan of salvation, for fulfilling that plan so that we can be with you in heaven one day. I just thank you that your entry into Jerusalem was triumphal. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.